Kof Ches Adar, Thursday the 15th of March, Rabbi Doniel Schoenfeld. Refund or return?
Good morning. I'd like to discuss a shaila that happened not too long ago. And I say discuss because you can help me out with the answer because it hasn't been given yet. The story went as follows. We'll change the names. Reuven and Shimon. Reuven and Shimon, you know them well. Yeah. Old friends of ours. So they're at it again. Reuven's bought a painting this time. And he has spent a lot of money on the painting. He spent £52,000 on this painting. Possibly. And he puts it on the wall, and as this time of year it was, this time of year, the children come home, and they're playing boomerang with a shoe, and it knocks the painting, and the painting falls on the floor. And nothing happens to the painting, but the frame cracks. So, okay, he takes it to a reframing place, and he said, ask the person before he hands it over, have you got insurance for anything that's here, because this is a valuable painting. They go, yeah, of course we have insurance, no problem. He chooses the frame, they make the frame. When he comes to pick it up, the lady tells him, you told me this is a valuable painting. It's not at all. There's nothing too valuable about this at all. He can't believe his ears. He takes it for an official evaluation. And the man tells him, no, it's not worth nothing. It's worth something, between £10,000 and £15,000. But certainly nothing like £52,000. So the man's very upset, understandably, right? He wants his money back. He goes to the seller, and the seller says, listen, I bought it for not much less. I made a small profit, but as far as I'm concerned, that's what it's worth. So they agree to take it for a second evaluation to a person they both agree upon. And that man says, okay, he thinks it's between £12,000 and £20,000. But again, nowhere near the price that was spent. So he was clearly overcharged. The question is, what happens here? Can he get his money back? Can he not get his money back? Okay, so now refunds in halakha. How does that work? Generally, the rules of refunds.
Was it a private seller or a dealer?
It was a dealer. The halakha that most commonly is brought up when it comes to this, mekach tos, right? There's a mistake. There's a mum in the mekach. There's something wrong. There's a fault in it. So it's a mekach tos. What's halakha with a mekach tos? It's funny. The Gemara is actually not directly discussing sales, purchases. It's discussing a lady who gets married, who gets engaged, and the husband later finds a mum. There's some mum on her. And the Gemara says it's a mekach tos. Right? And the Gemara says, learned mechira, sales, from the case of marriage. The halacha is that the sale's void, right? This is not what you wanted, it's not what you were looking for. And the sale's void, you can give back the item, and you get a full refund. You cannot ask for the difference in price. But you have two choices. You can either live with it, keep it, and suffer the loss, or you can demand a full refund. Give back the item and demand a full refund. Those are the two choices when it comes to mekach tos. Now this has no time limit, right? You can find the fault, the mum, you can find it many years later. Right? It doesn't make a difference. You have to find it any time limit. I mention that because it'll be relevant soon. You can find it 10 years after you bought the item. Now the question is, let's think for a second, right? He bought something which has a fault. Has a fault, right? He can now choose if he wants to keep this thing. Does he want to keep the item which has a fault? Or does he want to give it back? Well, let's think. In halacha, was there a sale here? Was there not? Why can he choose today whether or not he wants to keep what he bought? Why don't we say, listen, you didn't want to buy something with a fault, right? At the time when you bought it, you certainly didn't want a fault. So the sale wasn't valid. So you have to give it back. So the choice should be on the seller. Is that a valid question? If you wanted it, you wanted it. If you didn't want it at the time when you bought it, you didn't want it. Why is it to do with what you want today? Why can you decide today to say, yes, I want to keep it, or no, I don't want to keep it. Let's look at what happened when you bought it. What were the problems when you bought it? Was there a problem when you bought it? There was, right? Because there was something wrong. You didn't know about it, but there was something wrong with it. So what you bought is not what you wanted. So it's not valid. Right, so let's choose a different case. Good point, and I'll come to that. Let's choose a case of another case that came up. A chosen has a chosen shas, and after a number of years, it's found to be fake leather. You've got a leather band shas, and it comes out that it's fake, and every time he pulls the stuck volumes apart, the leather tears, because it's this cheap, thin leather, right? That is clearly a fault in the item, correct? He finds it many years later. That's not a problem. He can still go to the seller and say there's a fault, right? But what happens if our chosen is very attached to his shas, and he decides, no, you know something, I want to keep it. I want to keep it, even though there's a fault, and I would never, you know, I would never accepted this at the time. But I want to keep it. Can the seller say to him, listen, there was a fault, right? And you didn't want it at the time. So the sale wasn't valid. Why can't the seller do that? Does that make sense, that question? The answer is, it's a bit of lumpus. There are a few answers to the question. That's true. Okay, that's just a question on the material. For different reasons, he may want to take it back. But I'm just asking in a lumpus. I want to bring out a point. And the point is like this. There's a few different approaches to this question. Rabbi Kiva Eger explains like this. He says that every sale is done with a self-understood tanai. It's contingent on a understanding which is assumed by halacha. It's assumed that the two parties have this following understanding. That if there's going to be a fault with it, if later I'm going to find a fault, then I have the right to choose between keeping it or not. Right? It's a tanai. It's a self-understood agreement between the two parties. The Torah has nothing to do with this. It's nothing to do with a posuk, a gzeris hakosav, there's nothing. It's a self-understood assumption between the parties that when I buy something and it has a fault, later I have a choice to either return it or not return it, right? That's point number one. There are many examples of mekachtos, right? Every time a lady buys a shaitel, I think there's always a problem that comes up. It's either supposed to be straight and really it's wavy, it's supposed to be blonde and really it was brown, and it's dyed. They're constant shaitels with shaitels. They always come up to the shaitel, is it mekachtos, is it not a mekachtos? So it happens the whole time. That's the sugya of mekachtos. As it was mentioned, in our case, possibly, it's only a question of valuation. And I say possibly, I'll come to why it may not be, but Pashtus, how we understand at the moment is, there's a problem in valuation. There's nothing wrong with the painting. He liked the painting. The picture's fine. There's a problem with the valuation. Does that also fall into this guidelines of Mekachtos? And the answer is no. There's a whole new parasha, and that's called Oino, right? We know there's another pasuk which says, Kisem Kruk, what? Yeah, exactly. Overcharging or undercharging, and then the seller can complain, or being overcharged and the purchaser can complain. That's a pasuk, like Kisim Kru Mem Kalam Misecho, when you sell something, Economy Adam Misecho, or you buy something. Lesonu Isha Sochiv, you mustn't overcharge or undercharge the seller or the buyer. Now, what are the guidelines? This has lots of rules when this does apply and when it doesn't apply. Unlike the mum, which we spoke about, the problem of Mekachtos, when you say there's something wrong with it, you buy the Chosen Shas and there's something wrong. If there's something wrong, there's something wrong. It doesn't make a difference how much the difference in value is. If you didn't want what you bought, you don't have to keep it. When it comes to this parasha of Oino, the whole bunch of rules. When does Oino apply, when does it not? And the answer is, it revolves around the overpricing and underpricing of a sixth. Right? A shtus in the Gemara it's called. A sixth of the money. Was the buyer overcharged by a sixth? Did the seller undersell it unknowingly for less than a sixth? How do we measure a sixth? Well, let's imagine you sell that it's worth £50, for an example. The item you're selling is worth £50. You sell it for £60. Yeah? Is that a sixth? That's a sixth of the money that was paid. You've overcharged £10. It was worth 50. You've charged 60. It's been overcharged by 10. Right? That's a sixth of the money that you've charged. That's one case of a sixth. The same thing would be if it's worth 60. It's worth 60. And you charge 70. So you've added 10. That's a sixth of what it was worth originally. Okay? Those are the two ways a sixth can be worked out. Both of them are called a sixth. Okay, that's just as a guideline. What happens? What are the halachas on this sixth? It goes as follows. You can charge, let's assume it was worth 50, okay? That's going to be our case. The item you're selling is worth £50. You can sell it for £55. That's under a sixth. You can sell it for £60. That's a sixth. And you can sell it for £65, which is more than a sixth. The halachas go as follows. If it's under a sixth, you sell it for £55. It's worth £50, yeah? Our item in front of us, the watch you're buying, is worth £50. You sell it for £55. Nothing can be done. You shouldn't do it. The Ramban says it's not a good idea. This is osa. The Shulchan Aruch says it's a sofek if you can do it. Overcharge. That little bit, that extra £5.
You're allowed to make a profit.
Say again?
You're allowed to make a profit.
So what's called a profit, what's not? I'm talking about when it's out of the margin of the market. You have a minimum that the market charges. You have a maximum. You can buy cottage cheese for £1.50. You can buy it for £1.80. What if someone charges £1.95? That's what I'm talking about. Everyone's making a profit at £1.80. Everyone's making a profit at £1, whatever I said, 30, 40. They're making a profit. Don't make out of the boundary more than a sixth. But even under a sixth.
Sorry. All the shops today, they work on 300%. I mean, three times as much as it buys.
Okay. I'm talking about the market when you go into the shop and you see the prices on the shelves. If you see a market price, there's a boundary between £100 and £300, you can buy this item. Don't charge more than £300. That's what Ramban says. Don't charge more. You can make a profit. But don't go outside the market boundaries. But if you do charge more, but it's under a sixth, you've done £50 value to 55, you shouldn't have done it, but he's got no recourse. The purchaser keeps it and you keep the money. What happens if you charge a sixth? It was worth £50 and you've charged exactly £60. So this is a gzeiras hakosav, Rav Chaim Tal. It's a gzeiras hakosav that what happens is you have to return the difference. But that's all. The man can't come back to you and say, hey, you overcharged me, I want to give it back. No, there's no giving back. The item you bought, you've bought. But since you were overcharged a sixth, you deserve that money back in your hand. So the seller will give you back the money. That's by a sixth. The final case is when you're charged by over a sixth. It was worth £50 and you're charging £65. It's more than a sixth. In this case, you can't get your money back. You can't ask for the difference back. All you can do is give back the item and demand a full refund. Similar to how we were discussing with Mekartos. When you find something faulty with the item, you can either give it back or keep it, but you can't ask for a difference in price. Similarly, if you overcharge by more than a sixth, it's worth 50 and you charge 65, the buyer has two options. Either give it back and get all your money back, or suffer the losses. One of the two. Sorry? What did you say? Yeah. On a sixth, it's a gezeiras hakosav that you get your money back. More than that, it becomes a bittul mekach. Now, there's two rules I want to discuss which apply to a no, this overcharging or undercharging of a sixth, which do not apply to the case of bittul mekach. One is, since we remember, the distinction is the first case is just a savara. The mekach tos, when there's a fault with the mekach, it's just a self-understood quasi-contract. It's an agreement between the two parties that if there's a fault with it, I'll have a choice to give it back. That's an agreement. The case of Onor, on the other hand, is a posuk. It's in the Torah, right? That's a posuk that tells us what the halachas are. Because it's a posuk, from this posuk we learn two halachas. And they only apply to the case of Onor, because that's the case we learn from the posuk. One halacha is, Ein Onor lekarkois. And Ein Onor lishtoris. So if I sell you a house and I charge you Oinor, this whole story doesn't apply. Ein Oinor lekarkois. How do we see that in the posuk? The posuk is Kisimkru Memkela Amisecha Oikono Miyad Amisecha. You buy something from his hand. His hand implies it's movable, it's chattels, it's metaltalin. You can move it from one hand to the other. Therefore, says the Gemara, it doesn't apply to land, to real estate. First rule. And it also doesn't apply to shtoris. The shtar, if I have a shtar choiv, it also won't apply there. That's for it, also learnt from the posuk. A second rule is that you have limited time to claim your money back or to return it. In the first case of mekach tos, when you find a fault with the item, what we originally spoke about, the chosin shas, which has a fault, that you can find 10 years later the fault. That's not a problem. Come 10 years later and say, listen, there's a fault, I want my money back. In this posuk, when it comes to overcharging, being overcharged a sixth or not, you only have a very limited time, a few days. And it's called Ad Kadesha Yira Latagor Lakoriva, until you can show it to a professional and ask him, is it really worth what I paid? Or you go to one of your relatives and say, do you think it's worth what I've paid? Now, however long that takes in the place where you live, maximum a few days, after that amount of time, there's an assumption that you've been moichel this overcharging. If you don't go and take this item for a second opinion, have I been overcharged? The assumption is you're moichel if you've been overcharged. That's a Gemara. Okay, so you only have a few days to claim back this sixth, or the more than the sixth, that you've been overcharged.
From when you still bought it, when you find out.
Sorry?
From when you bought it. Find out a month later.
That's right. When you bought it, you should have taken it for a second opinion. When you bought it and you've paid for it, if you don't take it for a second opinion, we assume that you're saying, listen, I trust the guy, and if not, you know what happens? You win some, you lose some. That's what we assume. Why haven't you taken it for a second opinion? Obviously, you're not so bothered, right? You assume that it's correct, and if it's not, you're still happy to pay the money. You paid the money in the end, right?
Trusting the seller, you said. Yeah.
You're trusting the seller, and if he's wrong, what are you going to do if he's wrong? So the Gemara says, if you don't go immediately to get it back from him, there's an assumed mechila. That's how the Gemara puts it. That's a big din. I want to ask you a case to bring out the difference between Mekachtos, the first case of Achosen Shas, which had a fault, and the Shaitos, which have a fault, and the cases where people have been overcharged. What would you say in the following scenario? This came up in Eretz Yisrael, where somebody, it could happen anywhere though, you buy a property, and unbeknown to the seller or the buyer, it's got building permission. It's got a building permit for extension. So you sell it for a certain price. Had the permit been known, had you known that it had a possibility for expansion, it would have been sold for a lot more. So you're selling a house. You don't know that it has a permit for extension. So you've set a certain price, and it turns out it's worth much more because it's actually got a permit. Which one of these two categories does it fall into in this case? Does it fall into Mekachtos, where you're selling something that you don't know what it has? It's got something that you don't know about. The seller can say, I didn't know that it has a permit. If I would have known it has a permit, I would never have sold that. Or does it fall into the case of price difference? That the house is the house you wanted to buy. There's nothing different with the house. The house is exactly what you wanted to buy. It happens to be that it's worth more because there's a possibility to extend it. That's a sophic, right? You could look at it two ways. It could be a different type of house because it's got a permit. It doesn't have an extra room. There's not a room here that you don't know about. You know exactly what you're buying. You just don't know it has a permit. But the permit's not really part of the house. That's just a possibility to build. So that's just, perhaps, a difference in price.
It's an
Aveda. It's a what?
Aveda. Like the diamond in the field. You buy it with a good cow, hang you out the cow.
Yeah.
Without chassidim to still return it.
But can he claim that the sale is void because I didn't know what I was selling? That's the question. Let me tell you another case that the Shach brings. It's very similar to this, and I think he'll answer it. I lend somebody money, okay? I lend him £100, and he gives me a shtar to say I owe him £100. I now want to sell this shtar to you. I want to sell it to you. I can get £100 off him. I'm going to sell you this shtar, and I'm going to tell you, listen, you can buy it off me for £80, and in a month's time, you can claim £100 off him, right? So buy off me this shtar, and for cheap, and collect £100 soon. Right? And I tell you, don't worry, he's a wealthy man. He's got the money, he'll pay you back. It's worth £80 because your money's guaranteed. He's going to pay you back. And what it turns out is that this man really has not a penny to his name. And he never pays back what he owes. So it wasn't worth £80 at all. It was only worth, at best, 10, £20. Right?
1p.
Not very much at all. What is that? Is that a mekachtos? Do we say, listen, it was a piece of paper which says, he owes me £100. That piece of paper is, you saw it, you knew what you were getting, and that's what you bought. But you thought The reason why you bought it is because you thought he was rich. That's nothing to do with this piece of paper, right? The piece of paper is exactly the same what you bought. You thought he was rich, and really, he's poor. So it's worth much less. Is that, again, is that, that's quite similar to the case of the building with a permit. It's not in the article you're selling, the house. The permit's not in the house. You're buying the house that you thought you were buying. The value's different, although there's a difference in the permit. So too in this shtar, you're getting the shtar you thought you were getting, but there's a difference in its usage. Similar to the house, there's a difference in its usage. There's a machlokes in this case. 1 second.
Just one other thing. I'm asking, did Shimon represent to Levi? The mulver. The mulver who had the shtar.
Yeah.
Yes. Did he represent to the koiner that the lover is able to pay?
Yes. He says a wealthy man. Yeah, he did.
So he misrepresented. He told him something.
That's right. But nothing to do with this shtar. This shtar says he owes me £100. You bought something which entitles you to claim £100. That's all you bought.
And I told you that he's got money.
That's right. I told you he's got money.
Whereas in the case of the permit, neither of them knew.
Oh, but they assumed they both agree. They assumed it had no permit. There was no tzad in the world that had a permit.
It's different because he's misleading him.
But nothing to do with the article. There's nothing different about the thing you're buying. Mekaftos only applies when there's something different with the article you're buying. Oino applies when there's a difference in price. So how do we look at these two things? The article you're buying is the same, but it has a different usage.
The seller knew that he didn't have money.
Yeah. Well, let's see this. You know what? Let's say he assumed no. He didn't know.
He didn't know?
No, he didn't know. But he really didn't have any money. If that's going to be this.
You could say everything in life could be worth more afterwards, otherwise there'd be no buying and selling.
Yeah, that's true. But at the time when you bought it, you should know its value.
Well, he was quite happy to have the house. He wants to live in it. He doesn't want to develop it.
But the seller's not happy to sell it if it's got a permit.
Well, he should have found out
in a case where he wasn't able to find out. Let's say he called up the thing and it was a mistake. They told him no, it doesn't have. I'm talking about, okay, you're right. There would be a question. Why didn't he find out?
Let's say.
That you're happy with? Okay.
Yeah.
So now this is a shach in Siman Samach Vov about the shtar. When I sell the shtar and I pretend that he's rich and really he's poor, the Mabit says that it's a mekachtos. It's a different shtar. This shtar, because you can't claim it as easily as you thought you could, is a difference with the article. And following that reasoning, it should be a difference with the house, because you can do more with it. The shachar rejects this, and he says, not at all. There's nothing different with the article in front of you. And he paskens, he does away with the mabit, and he says, certainly there's nothing wrong with the article you're buying. The fact that you can do other things with it, you can claim it differently, falls into the second category of Oino. That's a grey area between the two. But the sides which are clear is that Mekachtos is when there's a difference with the article, and Oino is when there's a difference with the price, and then we have the rules of a sixth, under a sixth, a sixth, and over a sixth. And we know that Oino doesn't apply to Karka and to Shtoros, and you have a limited time to claim it back. Now let's go back to Astori the painting. People buy paintings, as far as I know, for one of two reasons. Either because they like the picture, or as an investment. Right? That should make a difference in our case. If the man buys it for how it looks, then what he bought is what he got. Right? The picture he thought looked so nice does look so nice. And it decorates his home as he thought it does. The difference is in the price. So which category will that fall into? The Oino category. That's a difference in price. And we'll have to adjust accordingly. That is in actual fact what happened. This man did not buy it as an investment. He bought it as a picture that he liked. Obviously, quite a wealthy man, £52,000 on a painting that he liked. It turns out that he's been way overcharged. So he falls into the side of Oino. Let's see, is it a sixth or under a sixth or over a sixth? Clearly, over a sixth. Okay, over a sixth. The problem is, he's had it for 2 years. And if you've had it for 2 years, you've passed the time of taking it for a second opinion, Kadesh Yare, and you've lost your zechus to claim back the money. That's what should be true. Now, in this story, the man was very lucky. And he had only paid £10,000. He was paying in installments. He had paid £10,000 for this painting, and the rest was going to be paid. He had not paid the full amount. Up to now, we've just been discussing when a person's paid the full amount, if you don't take it for a second opinion, we assume you are moichel any difference in price. You're happy to pay this money, you're moichel. What happens if I haven't paid the money? If I haven't paid the money, says Rabbi Akiva Eiger, there's no reason to assume I'm moichel. What was I moichel? I've still got the money. I'll take my time to find out how much it's worth. And when I find out, I'll either pay or I won't pay. There's no reason to assume that just because I've waited for a long time, that I am moichel the difference in price. And if, yeah, does that sit well? As soon as he buys it, he does a mashicha, he takes the painting with him, he makes a kinyan, he buys it from then, he now owes the money. He pays £10,000 of that money, the rest he hasn't paid, the other £42,000 he has not paid. And he'll tell you, you know why I didn't take it for a checkup, although I should have, is because I've got £42,000 in my pocket. And I was sure it's worth £10,000. And indeed it was. Indeed it was worth between 10 or 15 or 12 and 20, as the people said at the beginning. It was worth around what he paid. So why didn't I take it for a second opinion? Because I still had the money. So our friend was very lucky. However, there's one more halacha with Einor. And that is as follows. Actually, this applies to both parshas, Einor and Mekachtos. The story is like this. After you find out that it has something wrong with it, you buy a shas, and it's got something wrong with the leather that we spoke about. You buy a shaitel, and it's got something wrong with the hair. You buy a painting, and there's something wrong with the price. In both examples, if you use it afterwards, you lose all rights to claim anything back. If you use it afterwards, you can't use something you're going to give back. That's geneva. You're not allowed to do that. If you use it, you're, again, moichel, we assume that you're not going to claim back any other money. Now, the Pesachei Tshuva says that this applies to a Talmud Chochom or an Amora. It's irrelevant if the person knows this halacha, that if you use it, then you can't get the money back, or if he doesn't know it. Chazal said, once you use it, since there's an issa to use something, you're not allowed to use something you're going to give back. If you intend to give something back, what right do you have to use it? Since that's true, if you do use it, you lose right to give it back. Again, a big, big halacha. So our friend with the Chosen Shas, whose thing had all torn, he'd actually been using it for a while afterwards. One volume tore, two volumes tore, three. After 10 volumes, he thought, listen, okay, I'm going to complain. But he kept on using it. So he was happy. He argued, I wasn't happy for the whole shas to tear. I was only happy for 8 volumes to tear. That's a bit of a weak argument, right? Either, possibly, okay, that's something to think about. But if you use it after you find out about the mistake. Now, our man with a painting. He took the painting. He had it reframed. Fell on the floor, right? He got it reframed. Where did he put it? He hung it back on his wall. He took his painting, hung it back on the wall. Is that called using it, or is that not called using it? As we know, the safest place to keep a painting is on the wall, right? You put it on the floor, it's bound to get ruined. The safest place to put it on the wall. So what am I supposed to do with it, he can argue. That's not called using it.
If you want it as an investment, then you can keep it in a safe. It's not because you hang it up on the wall.
He tried, he opened it, it didn't fit. No, he couldn't. He didn't have any other option. He doesn't have a safe.
I don't buy two, look on it.
He doesn't have a safe. He doesn't have a safe. He hung on the wall because that's the safest place to put it. Should he have covered it with a black plastic bag so you shouldn't enjoy the picture? I don't know. And this is why I ask you. Should have covered it. Should have had it. Maybe he should have hung it up in the bathroom. Maybe he should have put it somewhere where he won't enjoy it.
His children should be playing nearby.
There was a shaila, a similar shaila, the children. There was a similar shaila about an ornate piece of silver or glass. I can't remember. Many years ago I heard. And the same shaila happened. He was way overcharged. But instead of putting it back in a box carefully and wrapping it up, he put it in his display cabinet in his room. Very similar to us, right? And there it was paskin that is called using it. Because there you have two options. There you can wrap it up carefully and put it back in a box and put it in the safe or store it somewhere. The least safe place in the house is a display cabinet. Right, that's not an argument for looking after it. Well, when it comes to a painting, I'm not sure how to paskin. If you have any way to help, please do.